Hello and welcome to your weekly matinee. Have you ever had a dream? Today we are talking about Mulholland Drive, a movie directed by David Lynch in 2001. I am Philip, one of your hosts.
And I am not Nate.
Yeah, we skipped Nate.
Matt.
We kicked Nate out of the show. He wasn't funny. Mm-hmm. So Matt and I put our administrative powers together, and we kicked him in the butt. So high five on that one, Matt.
Yeah. he'll be back next episode, though.
If he's lucky.
Yeah. We'll just add his voice. We'll just insert his voice in some old George Lucas it after the fact. We'll just add his voice in there.
And if we get Jar Jar right. No, we'll probably, what'll end up happening is when he does finally react to this movie, it'll be added at the end. So, well, I guess if it's at the end, you'll see. If not, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, did I science too fast for you there?
So this was a movie that I recommended to talk about this episode.
Yes.
Pretty much just because, personally, it's one of my favorites, and I like recommending good movies to people, but I also just wanted to hear their reactions.
Well, yeah, well, so...
that kind of movie.
So my understanding is meant to be like a drug trip, right? Or a dream?
It's more dream than drug trip.
I don't know, that ending...
Okay, that's something that I still quite don't understand. That felt like a drug trip. But
exactly.
Like a very bad trip. But the majority of the movie is supposed to feel like a dream.
Okay. I kind of get that. Especially because I feel like... I don't know if you noticed it, but in a lot of scenes, the... I'm going to get a little camera technical on you, so if I... say something you don't understand, just let me know. No, I'm not trying to be rude. It's just I don't know what you know.
I'm not skilled enough.
I'm not sure what you know. You very well may know exactly what I'm about to say. But so the saturation was definitely upped in a lot of scenes, at least from what I saw, or at least maybe that was my TV.
No, it happened with me too. It especially became apparent at the very beginning of the movie, towards the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, especially like the car crash scene.
Yeah, the car crash, and also the scene at the diner.
Well, that might also just be.
Windows.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Like the lighting is, or the saturation is boosted so much to the point where you can't see anything out the windows.
Yeah,
you're just all white.
And the other thing I noticed was the shutter angle, I believe is the term. So, shutter angle refers to how cameras used to have discs.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you up the angle or lower it, it tells you how much the sensor, basically, is exposed for each frame. So, if you have, like, a 90-degree shutter, that is... massive. And that will make things very sort of like fluid and blurry. So like a lot of this movie had like what felt like a really big shutter angle.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, you know, those things that are shot in full motion, but they feel slow motion.
Yeah.
That's done by upping the shutter angle, I believe.
Okay.
So when things sort of like flow together, and a scene seems fluid, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that movie was like this. Again, at least from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. So when the film starts out, this woman gets into a car accident and gets amnesia. And she winds up in this house in L.A. where this up-and-coming actress named Betty is staying at. And so... they find each other, and so they try to figure out who she is, where she's from, and she also goes by the name Rita. And while all that's going on, there's a director who's making a film, and these people are really pushing for this one actress to be in it, but he doesn't want her to, and there's a lot of conflict going on with that. And all the while, there's a ton of surreal imagery and WTF moments.
Speaking of, like, the whole surreal imagery, I think, like, the one that sticks out to me for some reason was the cowboy.
Oh, yeah, because he shaved his eyebrows.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, the actor, he shaved his eyebrows to make him look, like, kind of otherworldly.
Well, also, I really liked Adam.
Oh, yeah.
I just enjoyed him.
One thing I really like about him is that with all this bad stuff happening to him, like his wife cheats on him with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
Oh my, really? Why didn't I write?
Yeah, that's what that was.
That's nuts.
And like all his rights to his film are being taken from him. And he never like has a moment where he freaks out.
So you don't count the thing with the golf club as freaking out?
Well, not really, because, yeah, he's pissed, but he never, like, explodes at anyone. Yeah, he kind of does that to kind of avoid, like, losing, I don't know.
I feel like he definitely explodes. He gets real mad at his wife.
But he always does it with a straight face. That's kind of what I meant.
I guess. Personally, I feel like he was more along, like, while all this shitty stuff was happening to him, it was sort of he still found the energy to be a little snarky.
At least that's what I was going for.
Yeah, like when what's her name, I guess his secretary or whatever calls him about the cowboy. He's like making jokes. He's like, "What do I bring my 10-gallon hat or something like that?" I think he says.
Yeah, he's very playful about it.
Yeah. Like, he just doesn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm. And he's just so willing to go along with it. Be like, yeah, sure, it's been that kind of day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And to be fair, like, that's probably why I really liked him. Because, like, I feel like after, like, what had happened to him, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, definitely. let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so do you want to start with critiques then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what was something that you didn't like about it?
Well, for me, the pacing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, just, I get the idea of wanting to tell a story and needing X amount of time to do it, and I'm sure there's a reason it was a 2.5-hour movie. I just feel like you probably could have gotten the same point across with a little less time and paced it a little bit nicer. It felt like it was dragging to me. Maybe I totally missed something, but it felt like that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably The thing is, like, I don't know what I'd cut, but I just know that, like, parts of it felt unnecessary.
I think as the story jumps around from place to place.
Yeah.
So it feels longer.
I don't know.
There are also a lot of like silent moments, like the camera would just hold on something.
Yeah, but a lot of, that's the thing though. You don't want to say like, oh, like you shouldn't have a dull moment in film, because sometimes you do need like a moment to like allow the audience to be like, well, what just happened here? But mm-hmm. I feel like this movie kind of relies on it too much. Like, again, talking about the scene where Adam finds out his wife's cheating on him. I just feel like that scene, you already know what's going to happen by the beginning of it. So the fact that it's this whole, like, slow walk through the hallway and, like, oh, what's he going to find, for it to pay off with what you already knew. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have that build up, maybe subvert expectations.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
If you're not going to subvert expectations, don't have the build up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I get that, like, oh, you need tension and whatnot. It's just, that was the first scene that came to mind for me.
Mm-hmm. Where it started to drag.
That's definitely where I felt it, personally.
Okay, got any more?
It's really hard to critique a movie that is so dreamlike, because it's almost like a lot of my problems with it are just like, it's sort of, I guess the word, I want to say esoteric.
So it's like much more ambiguous and more for,
well, the whole,
like, niche demographic.
Yeah, the whole thing is like, for the people it's written for, it's probably perfect.
Yeah, because I personally love surreal movies, movies that just make you go, what the heck did I just watch?
I personally, if you want my opinion, I think a movie that kind of does the whole surrealism thing better are actually two De Niro movies, now that I'm thinking about it. They're King of Comedy and Taxi Driver.
I wouldn't consider Taxi Driver surreal.
The ending.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess the ending kind of leaves it to your interpretation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now, David Lynch, he's known best for making movies that are similar in that vein, where, mm-hmm. like, they're very dreamlike. Like, a film that I haven't seen all the way through, but I've seen some of and heard a lot about, Eraserhead. I feel like it's kind of the antithesis to Mulholland Drive, because while Mulholland Drive is very dreamlike, Eraserhead's very, like, nightmarish.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie definitely had, like, nightmarish moments.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Especially the ending.
Especially the ending. And also the creepy face outside the diner.
Oh, yeah.
Did that get you, by the way?
Nope.
Did that jump scare get you?
Nope.
Oh, really?
For jump scares to really get me, they have to be in a more interactive medium.
Okay.
You know what? That's not entirely true, though, because I got by a jump scare in Spider-Verse. But then again, like, in Mulholland Drive, it was building up to it. In Spider-Verse, it wasn't. The thing that got me about the, like, that jump scared me in Spider-Verse was, it was something with the Prowler.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was, like, I think, like, Miles was in his apartment, and it was that moment. I can't remember the exact thing, but it
got me. So it's more expectation?
Yeah, it has, yeah. The way, like, a good jump scare happens is, like, you're either expecting something and the scare is something else, or you're not expecting it at all. That's a good jump scare.
Yeah, because I remember the first time I watched it, I had a feeling that, like, the man would show up. I just didn't know what it would look like. Or, like, I knew the what, but I didn't know the how.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I think, at least the first watch, it is a good jump scare of one of the better jump scares in film is actually in Jurassic Park. It's the hand that lands on her shoulder. I think that's probably one of the best uses of a jump scare.
Oh, I'm sorry, am I boring you?
Yep. What about you? What do you think is negative about the movie, Matt?
I feel like one of the few negatives that I could personally think of would be, I don't know, it's just a personal thing for me. I feel like at the end, towards the end of the movie, it kind of got, like, a little too sexual.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had like that makeout scene and like yeah.
Like that one was fine, but then it there's one after it.
Oh, I don't know why I'm having trouble recalling it.
Where like she's in her house and turns over and then she and then her girlfriend I guess is lying on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that because the thing is would the reason you, I don't like it is,
I was just gonna say, would you like to give some context to people who may not have seen it?
Okay, so it I mean it kinda required me to spoil it.
Okay. So this will so it's this fine, will be a spoiler. So
this will be a spoiler.
Yeah.
So at the end it's revealed that I guess this or at least the way I interpret it is that they're looking for this woman named Diane Selwyn, and it turns out that Betty is that woman, and she was just having this bizarre, I guess, fever dream almost this whole time. And so she wakes up in her house, and then she sees her girlfriend Camilla, who at first it's like a hallucination, which kind of does bring up the point, like maybe she is on, maybe she is on drugs. Maybe that last part in the movie was a drug trip, but we'll get to that later. And so she looks over to her couch and Camilla is lying there completely naked. And then like the music kicks on, it's this jazzy score and they just start going at it.
The Avengers theme starts playing. Dude, I'm sorry if this gets like weird, we'll cut it from the podcast, but could you imagine having the Avengers theme in your sex playlist? That'd be so funny.
You don't?
No. I want a recording from Infinity War of in my sex playlist, and it's the scene of all the Wakandans going "Ipombe." And then right after in the playlist, it's a recording of Hulk screaming no for 20 minutes. Okay, I'm done.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. So, the reason I don't like is because I get why it's there. It's Lynch illustrating to us that these women who seem like total strangers to each other at first turn out to be a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So I get why it's there, but I felt like it could have been conveyed to us a lot in a lot more subtle way.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. How that would have been done, I don't know, but
how would you
go ahead?
As like a kiss on the cheek or I don't know.
So that actually transitions very nicely into how would you fix this movie, Matt? Because I don't know how I would fix this movie.
How'd you fix it? Or not even fix, just like what
would you tweak?
Would you change about it?
I think tweak is probably a better word for this segment.
How would you tweak it?
Yeah,
because you mentioned you didn't like the pacing of it. Like, how would you play?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what you would cut without compromising the integrity of the film. But at the same time, I feel like the pacing itself compromises the integrity of the film.
Because, I don't know, for me personally, like, not to get, like, too much into the positives yet, but, like, that's kind of the opposite of my experience, because to me, there wasn't a dull moment.
Oh, I totally disagree.
Like, yeah, I was just always...
Not gonna lie. Not a big fan of this film, Matt.
Oh, are you?
No. I'm sorry.
Is it solely because of the pacing?
Yeah, honestly, that's the thing though. Like that, it bothers me because I don't know how I would fix it, but I know that it bothers me.
You know what? I would either cut or probably trim down a bit more. Not even cut, I'd trim it down. Do you remember that scene with that guy who took the black book and he killed that other dude
I
to get
was
it?
just thinking that. I was
Yeah.
just thinking that. I think like the little bit of comedic moments in that scene, like unnecessary. You know what? Yeah, that's great. That's where I would trim that scene.
Yeah, I think you could have had him kill the guy, take the book, and run off outside the window. Like, you didn't have to have him when he's like wiping. It feels exactly like you said, like a comedy routine. Like, he's wiping off the gun, accidentally shoots through the wall, and hits the woman.
So the thing is, I personally I would have shot for like a 2 hour time frame, but I think right now I'm having the same dilemma the editors might have had during the making of this film is just what do you take out without compromising? You know what I mean? That I would definitely trim that down. Because that was like a 5 minute scene, right?
Yeah.
That's way
That I
too
think, you know
long.
what? I think that moment kind of like dragged a bit for me, but that was it. That was the only point in the movie where it kind of slowed down for me.
Yeah, that one in particular is definitely ugh.
I feel like that scene goes on for way too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny.
It was funny.
Especially the like something bit me. It's like
Something bit me bad.
it's funny 'cause she's fat.
I know.
Oh, fat people.
Yeah.
They suck.
Got the woman, he's like, come on, man, you gotta call a hospital.
Yeah, especially like the whole like sequence of him trying to like get her through the door and he's yelling at the janitor and the janitor's just standing there like why? Like, that's unnecessary.
Yeah, that part was annoying.
Very, actually. So, Matt, I'm gonna let you take the positives because I don't really have many.
Okay. Like I said, it just, to me, with the exception of that one scene with the black book, it never really bored me all that much.
Actually, I just thought of another part that I think was too long. The whole thing of her crawling from the car crash to the apartment. Like, to the bushes. That so long.
But we needed to know how she got there.
You can convey that without taking that much time. I enjoyed parts of this movie, but as a whole, I did not enjoy the movie. I apologize, Matt.
That is not okay.
Oh well.
Another thing that I also really liked about it, and this is kind of the I can understand like you not noticing this because this kind of comes with the benefit of having watched it a few times, was just the details. Like the details in used in characters' names, props, lines of dialogue.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thing is, I'm sure if I like watched through it a few more times, I could see the value and like the gold that is the movie, but I don't. I feel like if your movie requires more than one viewing to really truly appreciate, it shouldn't be 2.5 hours. That's a time commitment. That's a very big time commitment.
I suppose.
That's an afternoon. That's a whole afternoon.
So I can't really get into too much detail the positives without telling you about my interpretation of the film?
Go right ahead.
If you don't mind me sharing it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think that what actually happened in the movie was from when Diane wakes up in her apartment. Mm-hmm. And like that woman shows up to her door looking for her stuff. And then from that moment till probably towards the end. And so everything else that led up to it, I believe, was all her dreaming.
Or tripping on drugs. I would advocate it's a little bit of both.
It's definitely more of like, it's not.
Oh, like, I would say the ending is very trippy.
The ending is very much a trip.
Yeah.
Whereas, because everything you see in the third act, everything that Diane sees and hears is something that she later sees in her dream and that you see earlier in the film.
Yeah.
Because at the end, when she ends up, when she ends up shooting herself, she's in. Did you notice the position she was in the bed?
No.
She's in. Because do you remember the scene where the two go to the apartment, to look for Diane? Can they see the dead body on the bed?
Yes.
That's the very same position she was in.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Very clever.
So I believe that she shot herself and was still alive briefly, and so she had that dream, and then by the end of it, that's when she died.
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the point of movies like this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, what else was I going to say?
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's not you.
It's me.
And so there's a line that the director has, or Adam, there's a line that he has towards the end when they're all having dinner together. He's in the middle of telling a story, and then he says, "I got the pool, she got the pool boy."
Huh.
Remember earlier in the film where he sees the van, the pool cleaner van.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
And then also, I'm sorry if this sounds a little jumbled. I'm just trying to get
all your thoughts down.
All my thoughts down, yeah.
I get that.
And then another interesting little detail that I really liked is the scene where the two are at the that club. The two women are at the club, and they're hearing the band play.
Yeah.
And you know how the guy says that it's all a tape recording?
Yeah.
And so when he walks away from the mic, his voice is still projected. It's still amplified.
Yes.
So his voice was also a tape recording.
Huh.
I really like that.
Clever, clever.
Mm-hmm.
I like when movies do clever things like that. It's just, I don't know. I'm totally fine with movies that want you to absorb their content over multiple viewings. Like, I get that for the true point to get across, sometimes that's just what's needed. I just feel like it shouldn't be a massive time commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. This feels like we were talking about in one of our past podcasts, movies like that have deeper meanings are sort of like seen as elite. But like, I feel like this movie is definitely for the elite, you know? Like, it's almost like movie watching has to be your life. If you really want to see this one all
like
the way
very
through.
Much an art house kind of movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I get that.
I like how I turned the praising section into why I still think this movie is bad. That being said, I don't have anything else to say. You know what? No. I did not like this film. However, I recommend that you watch it. Just not you specifically, Matt, but just people listening. Because I feel like if you're trying to get into really understanding film, this is a really good movie for that. I feel like it'll help you, especially if what Matt is saying is true, upon multiple viewings, you get to really see all the details and all the strings connect. It's a really good way to show what is possible with filmmaking. So I do recommend this movie, though I do not enjoy it.
I would also recommend it.
Awesome. I don't have anything else to say now, for real this time.
You sure? Got all out of your system?
It sucks. Now it is. Okay. So, thank you very, 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 very much for listening. My name has been Philip. Remember to follow us on all your favorite podcasting sites, hopefully Apple Podcasts soon, and we will see you in the next one. Peace.
Bye-bye.